It's time once again to tune in to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. And as we continue our study and contrasting the Word of God, we're in Lesson 24 today. And what we're going to learn here today, if you're tuning in, is the fact that the 12 apostles, during the 3 years of the Lord's earthly ministry, never understood or appreciated the meaning and the significance of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. I think many of you know what I'm talking about here, but if you don't understand the word rightly divided, the word of truth, you think they knew it from the birth of Jesus Christ. So I ask you, if you will, today, turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, starting with verse 21. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 says, "From this time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." Verse 22. Before we get to verse 22, what did that first four or five letters, words say? "From that time forth began." Okay, let me ask you this. What happened if... what did he do before that? If it says, "From that time forth he began to show that he must go suffer and die." He preached the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 4 will tell you that. It says from the beginning Jesus Christ. Well, look, Matthew chapter 4, 17 says this. Go back to Matthew 4, 17. We already looked through this many, many times, but for sake of a few that may be listening. Verse 17 says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" From that time, he begins to preach the same message that John the Baptist preached. And he preaches that all the way over, and it does not change till you get right here in verse 21. Now, within that time period, did he already handpick the 12? Okay, you would think, okay, they know that he must go suffer and die. But look at verse 22. "Then Peter took him and began to praise God, 'Hallelujah, the Lamb of God is here,' or 'He's going to sacrifice to take the sins of the world away.'" Is that what it says? Is that what it says? He says, "From that, and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee.' But he turned and said unto Peter, 'Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man.'" Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ, for 3 years or so, 3.5 years, began and he handpicked a few men to go to do the work, and he taught them and walked with them, and all of a sudden he's telling them, "I've got to go suffer and die. But you're the king. You're not supposed to leave us." But he does, don't he? Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Matthew, Mark. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 43. "And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, everyone at all the things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples." Now wait a minute. Who requires a sign in your Bible? Okay. They loved signs, didn't they? Well, from way back here in Moses' days. So they liked that. But they wondered at what? Every one of the things that Jesus did and said unto his disciples. Verse 44, "Let these sayings sink down into your" what? "Ears. For the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men." But they understood every word he said. You should be saying no, preacher. Because it said they understood not these sayings, and it was hid from them, but they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Once again, the 12 apostles during the 3 years of the Lord's earthly ministry never understood what He's doing. Luke 18. Yes, sir. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 31. Then he took unto him the 12, and he said unto them, verse 31, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all the things that were written by the prophets concerning the man of the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and smiteful and treated and spit upon, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. Where do you find that at? In the prophets, don't you? Verse 34, And they understood none of these things. And the sayings was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. There's three things in there. Three things in there. They understood none of these things. It was hid from them, and neither knew. What do you think about that for a second? That's something, isn't it? Because here they had the Word of God all through that. John the Baptist says, "Here's make thee way straight." He's preparing a way. He's the porter of the door, by the way. You can't get on the train at that time unless you went through John the Baptist. Okay. And then they got in that system, and they're walking with them, and they're talking with them, and they're eating with them, and they're seeing everything that God said He would do in the Old Testament. And now He's saying, I've got to suffer and die. If you was a Bible believer, wouldn't you be searching to say, wait a minute, Lord, there's a time coming that you've got to go suffer and die. You know what? We would now because we know what God said, but I'm just wondering what would happen if you'd probably been the same way Peter would have been. Following Christ's resurrection, by the way, I've got John 20, verse 3, right after that verse we just read. John 20, verse 3. John 20, verse 3. Peter then went forth, and this is after he was died and buried and rose again. He's in the sepulchre. And Peter went out there, and John 20, verse 3 says, Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre, and stooping down and looking in and saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lieth, and a napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in its place by itself. Then went in also as the other disciples which came first in the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. What did he believe? Jesus Christ. No, he didn't. He wasn't there anymore. What did he say? First day, very first verse says, And the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and see the stone taken away from the sepulchre. What is she doing? She's running to say the body's been stolen. But the very next verse will tell you what they believed. For as yet they knew not the Scriptures that He must rise again from the dead. Man, when I see that, you know, where are these people at? Where are the Bible believers at? See, that's, well, I don't want to go there. But anyway, go to Luke chapter 24. It's very, very important to know that. Because a lot of people say it's from the beginning, from the manger scene on, that everybody knew that He's going to die, don't they? Okay? There's a lot of things they did not know. And there's a lot of things we still don't know, but I do know this. He was born to die, didn't he? We do know that. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Following Christ's resurrection and the 40-day Bible seminar, where did that happen? By the way, when was Jesus died? He died on what? Passover, didn't he? Okay, that's a great event in Israel's history, right? After Passover, what takes place? Starts with a P. 40 days later. Okay, feast days and all that stuff. Okay. So that's nothing new in your Bible. It's nothing that God miraculously put forth in Acts chapter 2 to make happen. It's something that they did on a continuous basis as part of Israel's calendar events. With me? So they had a Bible seminar from him. They understood the necessities of Christ's suffering and benefits received from it, as it pertains to establish Israel's kingdom glory. So now that they start to understand some things, is the fact that God is allowing them to understand the fact that, hey, it's going to be for their kingdom glory. Look at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? First the suffering and what? Then the glory, right? Verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them and all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So now they're going to start to understand, hey, uh-oh, this is what the scripture said to do. Okay? We know what the scripture says to do and what God's doing in the body of Christ. Sometimes we don't do it. But the fact is that he's telling them, this is what the prophet said must happen. So you're going to believe it or not? I had a brother-in-law, if I may say this, that when we talked about the mystery program, which we will, in contrast to Christ dying, burying, and rose again, he says that Christ dying and burying and rose again, how did he say, was the mystery that Paul revealed. That Christ died and buried and rose again. That's the mystery program. That's the mystery message that Paul writes in his scriptures.
That was already in the Old Testament.
That's exactly what I told him. I said, that's Psalms 22. That's Psalms 53. That's Psalm 69. That's what we're reading right here. Was that a mystery? No, it's not a mystery. So that tells me once again, where are people at in their Bible? You know, that's why when you walk up, so I had a discussion last night about the rapture with some people and about being lost and things like that. And a man said, you know, wouldn't it be more benefit instead of arguing, and we wasn't arguing, we just discussed, to find out if there were the people are lost instead of worrying about if somebody come to you and worried about a rapture event or wrath and they might even not, they're lost? I'm like, this is where you're talking about getting on with the message of grace and showing them, expounding them what God did for them through His Son, Jesus Christ, that He died and buried and rose again, find out where they're at. Now, I try very, very hard when I'm talking with people, I want to know where they're at in the Scriptures first. And you find out where they're at, then you can start reasoning with them from that point. With me? If they get off on some things, I like to back up and say, what do you trust to get to heaven? Maybe that's the first thing I should ask. But I always ask where they're at in their scriptures. Keep reading. Not keep reading, but go to verse 44. Verse 44. And he said unto them, this is the Lord, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all the things must be fulfilled which was written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, This is written, and thus it behooved God, Christ to suffer, and to be raised from the dead the third day, and the repentance and remittance of sins shall be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witness of these things. So now he opened up his understanding where they can understand some things, right? Now, did they know it in his earthly ministry? But yet he just said, these are the things I told you. And they're like, they're following wonders. They're following signs. They're following the King, if you will. Go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Now they're starting to understand after 40 days, this Bible seminar, understand the necessity why Christ must so suffer and die. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Verse 21. John 20, 21. 20, 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as the Father hath sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now let me ask you something. Without the Holy Ghost, can you reconcile? I mean, can you understand things? Mm-hmm. Think about it. Isn't he your teacher? Mm-hmm. Okay. So he breathed on them. And where's Acts 2:38 here? I thought you had to do some things to get the Holy Spirit. I think about that. You guys may not think about that out there, but I do. He breathed on them. They got the Holy Spirit, so they understand some things. Go to Acts chapter 1. Speaking of which, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Verse 1 and 2. The former treatise have I made, O Theopompus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to what? Teach. So he both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost have given commandments unto the apostles whom he have chosen. So he's given them commandments. The Holy Ghost is doing this, and they're beginning to teach some things. Chapter 2, verse 22. Chapter 2, verse 22. Chapter 2, and we read this last week, and you go back through all the lessons that we've done, all 24 of them, and we hit these passages heavy. Verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and what? Signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God had raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that it should be holden of it. Amen, hallelujah. That's great news, isn't it? Okay, look, verse 25. For David spake concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, and that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because that which wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Verse 28. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, that thou shalt make me full of joy without countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the partridge of David. that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is here with us until this day. Therefore, being a prophet, who's that he talking about there?
David.
David, and knowing that God had sworn with the oath to him that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, seeing that this before he spake in the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. For this Jesus hath God raised up, whereunto we are all witnesses. Therefore, being on the right, by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the Father and the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said unto himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on the right hand of my on the right hand. By the way, where do you find that at? Psalms, don't you? Okay. You should read that sometime. We talk about wrath. Good stuff in there about that. Until I make the foes thy footstools, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and who? Now, could Paul say this in the first part of his ministry? To me, he should have said that from the beginning. But the Holy Spirit came on him. God is allowing him to teach and start quoting scriptures. That's still like, wow. Here's a guy. Many of you have been sitting in here for 5 and 6 years. You know? And many of you could teach dispensational truths backwards and forwards. You know? But if you sit in here for 5 or 6 years and couldn't teach dispensational truths, I'm like, what's going on? I always say this. If you want to know what the preacher's preaching, don't ask the preacher. You ask the people that's under his ministry. That's how you know. In the past, I have talked to dispensational brethren in other churches. Hey, what's preacher preach? What do you preach about this? I'm serious. Because there's people sitting in churches today have never heard that Christ died for their sins and buried, rose again, and believed it. That's upsetting. And we know we have loved ones that is in that. Let's move on. Chapter 3. And there's a lot of verses to read, so we may not read them all. But chapter 3, starting with verse 12 down to 21, you know we have already talked about these things. And when Peter saw it, he answered and said unto people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? And why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? And he goes on and talks about the Lord Jesus Christ the same way he talked about in Acts chapter 2. It's just almost like he's telling them over again. So I'm not going to read all that for sake of things, but he says, verse 20, and he shall send, verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. I'll think about that. Because, you know, once again, there's 90% of the religious system out there says you got to do Acts 2:38 or you're going to hell. And this tells me right here, if you do Acts 2:38 and believe it, guess what? Repent ye therefore, and he's telling them to be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come. When are their sins going to be blotted out? So that tells me what? They're still in their sins. Where's the blood atonement at? There's no blood in that verse. Keep reading. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Did God use prophets and words concerning him? Did he not say the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms? You know what those three things make up? The scriptures, right? But they used those right there to prove that Jesus was who he was. And you're not going to convince me else otherwise that they was not saved Israelites in that apostate nation, in that apostate political realm, in that apostate religion that never, that could not understand that. They was. Just like today, there's Bible believers can understand the Word of God, rightly divided, to whom he's talking to. All the Bible's for us, but not all of it's what? To you, and you can understand those things. I'm looking at you. Yeah. For Moses truly said, unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whomsoever ye shall say unto you. Who's that talking about? The Lord, right? Moses is telling them he's going to raise somebody up in his own people. Listen to this guy. That's what he's telling Israel. And it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear the prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Chapter 4, verse 8. Chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to you, the impotent man, by what means he was made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him that doth this man stand here, behold, you whole, before you whole, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the cornerstone. Corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now how can, from once again, following the Christ resurrection and the 40-day Bible seminar, they had from him understand the necessity that Christ must so suffer and die, and in doing so, it pertains to establishment of the kingdom over here. So now they can understand why Christ died and buried and rose again, and how it pertains to them in the heavens?
No.
Where at?
On earth,
ages to come. Now, contrast to that, Paul, turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Contrast some things, and that's what this lesson's doing. There's no contradictions in your Bible. There's contrast. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. To Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, apostle of the body of Christ, if you will, God committed the full meaning and significance of the cross of Christ. He didn't water down nothing. He preached the cross and Christ crucified. That's Paul's message. The good news about his death, burial, and resurrection, proclaiming it in its glory, okay, as the power of God and the wisdom of God. And also, Paul was committed the testimony concerning Christ giving himself a ransom to all men. You got all that? Let's look at some verses. 1 Corinthians 1:18. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the preaching of the earthly Jesus... I love to see y'all's faces when they say it, because they don't say that, does it? For the preaching of the cross is to them to perish what? Foolishness. But unto us, which are, now not being saved, are saved. It is the power of what? God. The preaching of this event right here, there's power in it. How's there power in it?
Resurrection.
Okay. Resurrection. Verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, and to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Got that? There's power in God's Word. There's power in preaching the cross. And that's what we should be focused on here today, right? Today is a day of what? Salvation. Okay? The preaching of the cross is what saves people. And what do people say? That's foolishness. You have to join the church. You have to get baptized, sprinkled, dunked, submerged, whatever. You have to pay tithes. You have to do that. You have to do this. You have to do... You draw a cross on the board and ask people what they trust in. And if, chances are they're going to hit everything but that cross, aren't they? You ever look down a scope? Is it a big circle that you can just do? It's what? We call them what? Crosshairs. And you look down that scope, and you whatever you point in that crosshair should hit its target if it's lined up right, right? That's how I look at the cross. People tells me you got to do this, this, this. Have you ever heard of Christ died for your sins, bearer? Oh yeah, I believe that. Well, why didn't they say that to begin with? Should that not be fourth verse on your mind if you keep in memory, unless you believe it in vain? And you know, God forbid, you husbands out there forget your wife's birthday or your anniversary dates. Crucify him. just jokingly. But you don't forget those things. You know your social security number? You probably know it backwards and forwards. But when you ask somebody what do they trust to get saved, what do they say? It's sad, isn't it? Let's keep moving. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Got a couple more verses. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And get 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort thee, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. What's good and acceptable? Pray for them, supplication, live honestly, live good. How about this? Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth? Would that be good and acceptable?
Amen.
Okay. Who will have how many men?
All.
To come to knowledge of truth. Verse 5, for this is, therefore, is there one God, one mediator between God and man, and that man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for many to be testified in due time. All. That's very, 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 very important to understand that. That God, through Paul, explains that all can be saved and that blood shed for all. Now, in Matthew chapter 20 and Matthew 26, we're not going there for sake of time, says that Jesus Christ, His blood was shed for many. That this blood is shed for many. Now, who would that many be? It's plain and simple that. For those who believe in God in that day. Many. That's not all. We say this all the time, don't we? There's many of us is wearing glasses in here. All of us are not. So does that mean that Christ died for the ones who had glasses? I'm wearing glasses, by the way. Contacts don't count. Sorry. You got to wear glasses. He died for all of us. Verse 7, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and get Ephesians chapter 1. Got two more things to look at. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The power of God and the wisdom of God was committed to Paul in the testimony concerning Christ. And he was given a ransom for how many? All. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses... I like to start with verse 5. That your faith shall not stand in the wisdom of who? But in the power of God. Where do we find out the power of God is at? At the preaching of the cross. There's power in that. Okay? Verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. Goes along with the wisdom of this man's wisdom, which goes on the wisdom of the world, talking about a system out there of religious worship that became corrupt. The wisdom of the world, nor the princes of this world that came to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom God ordained, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for he had, if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That's the wisdom of God. This is what we're preaching. We're preaching the cross that Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again, who will have all men to be saved and come to the what? Knowledge of the truth. How you come to the knowledge of the truth? You lay your Bible down and, you know, listen to those TV people that you listened to this morning. You study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Ephesians chapter 1. You know, that's why we got a little motto, if you will. Canton Grace Fellowship says, studying the whole Bible, 2 Timothy 3:15, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Bible's on way, 2 Timothy 2:15. Studies. So the Bible has a way to study it. We understand it. We recognize it. We give God the glory. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8 says, wherefore he hath. What does hath mean? You're waiting on something? Man, this is one thing about God Almighty when it comes to Lord Jesus Christ. It's given to you up front. That's wonderful, isn't it? Abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. How has he abounded us in all wisdom and prudence? Having made known unto us the wisdom of His will, the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, that's the body of Christ, and which are in the earth, that's the nation of Israel, even in Him. When you understand what God is doing today in the dispensation of grace and what is committed to Paul, then the understanding is very clear compared to what it was in Israel's program. Father, we do thank You for the day, and we thank You for the things You've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.